You beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. The first thing we're going to talk about today is actually a quickie story out of Canada that is ridiculous, but I wanted to make sure to include it so maybe someone recognizes the person in the video. They can tell the authorities, because this is, it's so dangerous and ridiculous. And the thing that we're talking about is what is featured in this video. Please, YouTube algorithm, don't hit me. This is news coverage, but it's what's featured in this. We see her picking up a chair. It says, good morning. She looks down below, and she actually tosses it all the way down. And the video cuts off before we see if it hits something or someone. But what we do know is that according to the CBC, by mid-Monday morning, the police were saying the incident took place on Saturday morning, and adding that the suspect also threw other items from the balcony. And according to Constable David Hopkinson, the chair was found on a sidewalk damaged almost beyond recognition, which also appears to coincide with a photo that was uploaded to Reddit in connection to this story, though officially at this time, no sources have confirmed there were two chairs. As far as the location, it looks like this one, Lakeshore Boulevard in Toronto. And reportedly, Sergeant Ron Boyce told Radio Canada that police believe the condo is at 55 Bremner Boulevard, and also said that condo management is working with them. And so with this story, just last things to say with it. One, in general, don't be stupid, stupid. Two, stupid, if you're gonna be stupid, do not also film it. That is extra stupid. And three, if anyone in the Toronto area recognizes this person, please contact Crime Stoppers. Oh, and I also guess to the idiot featured in this video, congratulations on making yourself a criminal. I hope they find you. It's looking like you'd be charged with mischief, which, according to the Justice Laws website, everyone who commits mischief that causes actual danger to life is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for life. And so she's facing 6 months to life. So congratulations on doing it for the gram. And then we had a few things around the Grammys, which of course the Grammys, the biggest thing in the music industry, and or the thing that I'm like, oh, that's on tonight? I will definitely take a look at the recaps the morning after. But that aside, last night there were a lot of historic wins at the Grammys. Definitely of note, you had Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover, the man who apparently is talented at everything, to the point that it almost makes me angry. But I mean, Childish Gambino won 4 Grammys last night. He won for Best Music Video, Song of the Year, Best Rap / Sung Performance, and Record of the Year. And this was historic for 2 reasons. The first being that This Is America won both Song and Record of the Year, which is the first time a rap song has won those categories. And 2, it's been 12 years since anyone that won any of the big 4 categories that he won didn't show up to accept the award. The last person that didn't show up was Amy Winehouse, and reportedly she just wasn't able to get a visa in time, but she was, you know, she's still essentially like Skyped in. And with Childish Gambino, it doesn't seem so much as the ability to show up or not, but the choice to not show up. Because even in prior coverage, it was reported that Childish Gambino declined to perform at the Grammys. So there was that. Also of note, we had Ariana Tiny Barbecue Grill Grande making headlines. And this was actually connected to Cardi B, who also made history when she became the first solo female artist to win Best Rap Album. After Cardi's win, Ariana Grande sent out tweets upset that Mac Miller, who was also nominated for Best Rap Album, lost the category. Those tweets saying literal bullshit, fuck, and trash. She later added frustrations that his parents attended the show only to see him lose, saying they invited his parents out, no. And with all of this, many assumed that her tweets were targeted at Cardi for winning, saying things like, did Ariana call Cardi trash? I'm giving one example, but there was a lot of them. She then afterwards tried to clarify, saying this has nothing to do with her, good for her, I promise, I'm sorry. And she's not at all, and that's not what I meant, and you know that. She then deleted all her tweets about this. We also saw Cardi chime in, posting a video to Instagram saying that she shared her win with Mac.
Hey, you wanna know something? I read an article that Mac Miller family said that if he don't win, they want me to win, so I'm sharing this Grammy with you, motherfucker. Rest in peace, and thank you, everybody.
There was also a controversy around J-Lo and a Grammy's tribute to Motown Music. The tribute featured host Alicia Keys, Smokey Robinson, Neo, but was led by Jennifer Lopez. This was met by a ton of criticism from many viewers, as she isn't known for singing Motown music, and Motown is a historically black label. And so some thought that this tribute should have been led by a black artist. With tweets like, I can't believe Janelle Monáe is in the audience and they allowed J-Lo to lead a Motown tribute. People saying they were confused. Others even accused J-Lo of lip-syncing, and adding, if you gotta lip-sync for Motown tribute, I don't want it. To this, J-Lo defended herself by saying she thinks any artist can sing whatever kind of music they want.
Any type of music can inspire any type of artist. And when you, you know, you can't tell people what to love. You can't tell people what they can and can't do, what they should sing or not sing. You got to do what's in your heart. And I think Ken and the producers and Berry Gordy, who was so thrilled that I was doing this, they know how much I've been influenced by that music. And so it was a natural for them, but maybe some people didn't know. That's okay.
And I have no comment on this story that is basically people angry that someone is not black enough. I'm gonna sit this one out. But I will say, Janelle Monáe was fantastic last night. And then finally we had headlines around Drake at the Grammys. Now with Drake, he hasn't been to the show since 2013. He's often criticized the show for not including him in proper categories and just generally not being inclusive to artists of color. And in his acceptance speech for Best Rap Song, it appeared that he just got cut off while trying to call these things out.
We play in an opinion-based sport, not a factual-based sport. So this is not the NBA where at the end of the year you're holding a trophy because you made the right decisions or won the games.
And he goes on to say, you know, this is a business where at times you're gonna have a bunch of people that don't have any idea what a kid with insert whatever your different kind of background from them is has to say. And essentially taking this time where he won an award to say, you know, this award doesn't matter. If you've got people listening to your music, buying your tickets, you're a hero in your hometown, you won. And closing.
You don't need this right here. I promise you, you already won.
And instantly, Twitter was ablaze with, did they just cut Drake off for calling them out? Which, it could definitely appear that way. But the Grammys defended themselves in a statement to the Hollywood Reporter saying, Drake took a natural pause in his speech, which led producers to believe he was finished, so they went to commercial. And adding, since it seemed as if he had more to say, Grammy producers spoke with Drake immediately following his acceptance speech and offered him the opportunity to complete his speech. Drake stated that he was actually finished with his speech and happy. And that is essentially it for the Grammys. Of course, there were a lot of different smaller things. I'd love to know your thoughts on any and all of it. And then let's talk about an update around a story we covered a long, long time ago, and that is the story about Michelle Carter. Michelle Carter, if you don't know, I'm gonna use the word monster here because that's how I feel. Michelle Carter is the monster that was convicted of involuntary manslaughter after she convinced her boyfriend via text messages and phone calls to kill himself. And if this seems like a somewhat old story, yes, she was actually convicted in 2017 and even sentenced in 2017. But she was actually allowed to be out and free in the world until her appeals in state court were done. And just last week, we saw the Supreme Judicial Court affirm the conviction, saying the evidence against her proved that by her wanton or reckless conduct, she caused the victim's death by suicide. And the reason we're talking about this today is her attorneys this morning filed an emergency motion, and they requested the court not send her to jail while they appeal to the Supreme Court. But the SJC denied that motion, so she's headed to jail. And my reaction to this is good. I mean, talking about this kind of on the surface level, if you've not heard this story, you might be like, well, what did she do? If you have not seen or you need a refresher on that coverage, I'm gonna link to it down below. It is truly vile, and if there is a negative part to this story, to me, it's just that she's only getting 15 months. But yeah, that's where I'll leave that one. And then let's talk about the latest update on the anti-vaccination movement. Now, we've talked about this situation over the years, most recently with the measles outbreak in New York. But also, for those who don't know, the Pacific Northwest is facing a massive measles outbreak with over 50 cases confirmed in Washington and Oregon. The epicenter of this outbreak has been identified as Clark County, Washington, which is just north of Portland, Oregon. Most of these cases are in unvaccinated children under the age of 10. And this outbreak is already being labeled Washington State's worst measles outbreak in the last 2 decades, even forcing Clark County to declare a public health emergency. This has also prompted lawmakers in Washington State to hear testimony on Friday on a bill that would make it harder for families to opt out of vaccination requirements for measles, mumps, and rubella, the MMR vaccine. Because currently, the state allows for school vaccination exemptions based on medical reasons or personal, philosophical, or religious beliefs. But under the new bill, parents would no longer be able to claim those philosophical or personal exemptions. And this is a pretty big deal, especially since, according to the CDC, vaccination rates in the Pacific Northwest are among the lowest in the nation. Currently, the vaccination rate across Clark County is about 78%. But comparatively, that's high. And in fact, according to the Clark County Public Health website, some schools in the area have rates under 40%. And so a big thing that health officials have been saying is that these lower vaccination rates decrease herd immunity, which can endanger children who are unable to be vaccinated for medical reasons. Right, for herd immunity to work, you need vaccination rates of around 90 to 95%. So you have this bill that has bipartisan sponsors. It's called HB 1638. You have Monica Stonier, the Democrat who co-sponsored the bill, saying she understood that people may view vaccinations as a matter of personal choice, but added that personal rights are important as long as they don't impose on the rights of others. Paul Harris, the Republican co-sponsor, adding, "You cannot find a peanut in one of my schools because of concerns about allergies, but unvaccinated kids are walking around in my schools because of a personal exemption? I find it appalling." And so among the anti-vax movement, this bill caused an outrage. So we saw during the public hearing of the bill before the House Healthcare and Wellness Committee on Friday, nearly 700 people showed up to protest. People lined up more than an hour before the start of the meeting in the cold, cold with strollers and hand-lettered signs to sit in the hearing, which according to the Washington Post was so crowded that staff had to open up additional rooms to accommodate the crowd. Many protesters were also wearing stickers with the bill HB 1638 within a crossed out circle. And afterward, many of those people, they gathered outside for a rally. Among the anti-vax activists, you had Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who by some outlets has been called a prominent vaccine conspiracy theorist. He testified during the hearing and claimed that health officials are covering up the dangers of vaccines. Some people also claim that their children had gotten sick from vaccines and that the majority of people diagnosed with measles had actually been vaccinated. However, Washington State Health Secretary John Wiseman debunked those claims and urged lawmakers to pass the bill, saying, "I want to remind you that the MMR vaccine is extremely safe and highly effective. All reputable scientific studies have found no relation between measles and autism." And adding,
"The challenge, I think, in today's world is that most people haven't seen this. And they haven't seen this because the vaccines are effective. So, you know, I understand sort of that hesitation if you have not lived through these times. We're sort of, in some ways, the enemy of our good work, where we are actually preventing these."
And the thing that I really want to hit on here, because I'm always so scared that I'm going to create this sense of false equivalency, like one side said this, the other said that. Who knows? That's not the case when we're talking about this. This is in some sort of 50-50 situation. There is the completely overwhelming majority of scientific research and science saying, we're not seeing a connection here. And regarding the numbers around this, according to the Department of Health, 4% of Washington secondary school students have non-medical vaccine exemptions, and of those, 3.7% of the exemptions are personal, with the remainder being religious. Also, regarding Clark County alone, 6.7% of kindergartners had a non-medical exemption for the 2017-2018 school year, according to health officials. And if you're one of the people that I think rightfully are wondering, well, is this bill even going to stop anything? Right, like you're probably wondering, what's gonna stop someone that said, you know, for a philosophical or personal reason, I don't want my child to be vaccinated, to say, it's because of religion. What's the government gonna do? Prove it. Prove that you're religious. On 10 Hail Marys, stat. And so actually on this note, we have Representative Harris saying that he plans to amend the bill to tighten religious exemptions, then get the bill to the House floor by the end of the month, and adding,
"I find it fascinating that vaccines is causing this big of a deal, to be quite frank with you. I look at what's going on in Europe, 82,000 cases of the measles. Are you kidding me? I've got 72 people that died a year ago and 42 the year before that. And we're sitting here discussing whether or not we should have our children vaccinated."
But legislation aside, what we've seen is that this outbreak has actually prompted a huge increase in the number of people getting vaccinated in Clark County. Reportedly, the average of immunizations has gone from about 200 a week on average to more than 1,000 a week during the last 2 weeks of the month. But even with seeing a positive change in numbers there, it's important to remember that this is bigger than Clark County, Washington State, America. This is an international issue. It's the reason why this last Thursday, the World Health Organization had to release a report warning of a worldwide surge in measles. And for instance, in Europe, the total number of people infected with the virus in 2018 was the highest this decade. And in fact, it was 3 times the total reported in 2017 and 15 times the record low number of people affected in 2016. And all of this is the reason that for the first time ever, the World Health Organization has listed vaccine hesitancy as one of the top 10 global threats of 2019. But ultimately, that is where we're going to end this one today. And as far as my opinion, I mean, I make it no secret, anti-vaxxers are extremely frustrating to me. And I say frustrating because when I look to the anti-vax movement, it's not like I see monsters, right? You can't label them as like, oh, people that want to do harm onto others, right? Often when you look to that group, you have a lot of people that think they are doing right by their children based off the fact that a lot of them have either just been fed misinformation or they sought out misinformation that connected to their feelings, right? So the point of frustration is you're not dealing with an inherently evil person, although the choices that they are making not only affect their children, but everyone else's children. So that's why I will constantly sing it from the rooftops, get your children vaccinated. But of course, that's the story as it is now, and I pass the question off to you, whether you agree or disagree with me. What are your thoughts on this one? And that's where I'm going to end today's show. And remember, if you like this video, you like the daily looks at the news, let us know, hit that like button. Also, if you're new here, you want more, be sure to subscribe. I highly recommend clicking that bell to turn on notifications. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.